This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 441, recorded Wednesday, May 15th, 2009, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Are you excited, Trey?
I am. I have low blood pressure.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's not super low. It's like, well, to be fair, my doctor called it perfect.
Well, you always seemed like a nice, relaxed person.
I am. You know, my smartwatch, my Galaxy Watch, has this thing on it where it can measure my stress. And I don't know what it does. It does, like, when I press the... I'm going to do this now. I turn the bezel until I get to the stress widget. And then there's a measure button. And I press measure. Press measure. And then I get this EKG-looking thing where it goes up and down, up and down, up and down.
So you just watch it?
I just watch it. And there's a percentage sign at the bottom. And we're at 100%. And it says that my stress is, well, if the scale goes from, imagine a scale that goes from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, right?
Yes.
My stress level is at about 9:15.
I'm glad that you're so relaxed.
It's pretty much where I live.
Okay.
See, I have this theory.
I'm listening.
If I can affect something, if I can fix something, then fix it and there's no need to worry. And if I can't fix it, if I can't affect it, then there's no need to worry.
I'll keep that in mind.
You know what the great Baz Luhrmann says?
No, actually, I don't.
He says worrying is like trying to solve an algebra problem by chewing bubble gum.
That doesn't sound like it would solve an algebra problem.
It doesn't. I mean, it keeps you busy, but it doesn't do anything.
I think I'll talk about Android.
Let's talk about Android.
Android Q apparently has a developer option to turn off all sensors.
What?
I thought that was interesting.
That's crazy talk.
You like sensors?
Why would you want to turn off all sensors?
Maybe you're worried. Maybe you think that the phone is spying on you. There are plenty of people who are nervous about Google collecting data on them. Isn't that one of the reasons that Google spent a large percentage of the Google I.O. keynote talking about how private they could be? By letting you delete your data and by letting you run applications on your phone so that they didn't have to store data in the cloud, they could just derive benefit from it?
Now, don't get me wrong. That's cool. But, well, no but. I mean, if you want to turn your sensors off, turn your sensors off. But then don't complain when your compass doesn't work and maps can't tell you where to go. I guess that's why it's a quick setting.
Well, again, you have a choice. Why is choice a bad thing?
It's interesting to note, though, that your radios are not turned off by this, which means your phone still knows where it is by snooping Wi-Fi signals and Bluetooth signals. So the phone still knows where it is. It just doesn't know if the phone's flat or vertical, which I don't know how that makes a difference. But hey, cool, whatever. Good job.
So let me think what else is going on. I have a list here. Google is going to eliminate overlay permissions.
What? Why, Google, why?
Instead, they'll allow you to use bubble style notifications.
No.
Well, the ability to draw over the screen is a potentially dangerous thing.
It is dangerous, but it's useful.
What's an example of it being useful where a notification that can pop up on the screen would not be?
I used to play a game called Ingress, right? Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, well, one of the tool. Okay, so when you hack a portal, you have a certain cooldown.
Okay.
And you could have these timers that would overlay and show you how long until the timer runs out. So after you hack, you could start the timer, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, you can hack it again. And those timers could also keep track of how many times you'd hack or a variety of things. And those things work really well as overlays, but not so much as notification bubbles.
I'm sure that they'll have to figure out something.
It just makes me sad.
Again, there are always trade-offs. Security does not always mean convenience.
Yes, security and convenience are opposites. It's another system which is being destroyed by those who abuse it.
That's the way it is. 98% fewer Play Store apps are using the SMSM call permissions now that Google has made it hard for you to get those permissions.
And that's in today's most surprising headline. Who'd have thunk that once they made it almost impossible to do, that it would drop the number of people using it?
I don't know. I didn't think about that. Actually, I did think about that. That's why I put the story in.
Well, good job. Because let's be honest, the vast majority of apps do not need call permissions and SMS permissions.
Yeah.
Now, there are some that do, but I think it was kind of like a default in a project template or something. And that's why a bunch of apps used it.
Yeah, but there were many apps that used it for legitimate reasons that were now prevented.
Yes.
And that, I would say, is a shame.
Shame, 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 shame.
The in-apps update API will let apps update while you're using them.
Does that not seem crazy to you?
Why? Why can't, while you're running an app, why can't it check to see if there's an update?
Oh, it can check to see if it's an update, but it's going to update while you're using it. That's like changing the engines on an airplane while you're in the air.
Well, the only thing I worry about is my data.
Executing, and you're going to change the code out from under it. Man, as a developer, how do you code for that?
I don't know. Apparently, there's an API for it.
That's just crazy.
The only thing, as I said, that concerns me is what if that's using my data? If I'm downloading large amounts of things in the background, can I say don't update when I'm not on Wi-Fi?
I'm pretty sure that it will conform to the same rules regarding updates over Wi-Fi or mobile.
ADB backup and restore may be removed in future of Android specifically.
I don't like this new direction.
Well, I always get this impression that too many companies, you know, they open up their garden, they say, come play in the garden, and then the next thing that they tell you is, oh, we're sorry, we're going to build a wall around your garden. You can't leave now.
Or you can't access this part of the garden. I know that you put up your lemonade stand in that part of the garden, but you can no longer go to that part of the garden.
Unless we go with you. Or unless you send us to retrieve your lemonade and bring it back to you.
Yes. Unless you give us a form filled out in triplicate and approved 15 times about why you need to sell lemonade.
Please don't say that. I spent the entire afternoon filling out paperwork over and over again.
It happens.
No, it's because the new people who are handling the request forms won't allow you to submit one request form for multiple people. They make you submit one form per person. So I filled out the same form 25 times with the same information. So then I filed a service request requesting that they give me a multi-user form. So my form that I filled out to request a better form was denied.
There's a certain amount of hilarity in that.
Yes, eventually they'll explain it to me, but I think there are better uses of my time than filling out the same form 25 times. Especially when you can just put like a little plus box and say, well, if you want to request for the same thing for more than one person, just hit the plus. And
have you considered a copy machine?
It's a web form.
Oh, then copy and paste.
Oh, they won't allow autofill.
What? I hate forms that do that.
Yeah, well, my form that I filled out requesting that they reconsider that decision was, again, ignored. Oh, well. By the way, since it used to be that I could request 5 different things on one form from multiple people, now I have to request 1 thing per form. So what used to be me filling out one form now has gotten to me filling out 100 forms. Sorry, I'm admittedly, as you might tell, extremely annoyed about this, especially since
the I didn't get that impression at all.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't like to bring my annoyance about things not related to the show too much, but that just annoys the heck out of me.
And yet here we are.
It's, I don't know. Do you get annoyed when you feel like you're doing something that's completely pointless and that all of the other people involved seem to ignore the fact that they are making you do a whole bunch of pointless work?
No, I don't do pointless work.
I'm only doing it because someone's on vacation.
No, really. If I'm told to do pointless work, I pipe up and say, this is pointless work. I'm not doing it. Now, of course, my position at work may be a little bit different than yours, and it is possible that my employer needs me more than I need them.
In my case, it's not. I can say that this is not something I should be doing, and somebody else should be doing it, and the company agreed. That's why it's not my job.
Cool.
Except the person who does it is on vacation. And the people who need the thing that I'm filling out the form for are sitting in a room somewhere doing nothing. I feel a little bad about 25 people sitting in a room doing nothing because nobody filled out the paperwork to get them the ability to actually use a computer.
It probably also helps that I don't work in a bureaucracy. And what you are describing sounds very much bureaucratic.
Our IT department, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Increasingly so every year.
My job, the people that I work for and the processes that are around that I have to deal with were very much designed to keep me unobstructed as much as possible.
In my case, they felt that the process for getting account credentials was not regulated enough, as in, we asked for credentials, they gave them to us. So they, I think they sort of swung all the way over in the other direction. So they went from, okay, you are allowed to ask for credentials, you asked for credentials, we gave you credentials, to please fill out these forms in triplicate in order to get the same credentials you used to be able to send an email with a list to get. Oh, well. This is what happened when the lawyers come in. So, you can now play with cash in the Play Store.
Okay, you got to explain this to me because I did not watch the video. I read the article. How do you pay in cash? Because I cannot, I mean, it's not like I can lay a $20 bill on top of my phone and that magically pays for it. I mean, I have to give that $20 bill to somebody. How does that work?
Okay, so if you want to buy something, you can defer the payment. So you say you want to buy something. They can purchase it and then go to a convenience store and pay for it. You get a payment code on your screen that you have to show the cashier in order to complete the purchase.
What convenience stores?
That's the thing. This is not really a U.S. thing. They're trialing it out in Mexico and Japan. So the idea is that you say out you want to buy something. It says, go to this convenience store, and when you go there, you give them the cashier a code. You pay the cashier, and they confirm the transaction. And once they have, the system will download and allow you to use the application or service that you've purchased. So this is for people who do not want to attach a credit card to their Play Store account. So instead, they can say, I'd like to buy this, and then they can go and give money to a place that will take care of it. Now, the other part of it is you can top up your balance at a convenience store. So rather than having a credit card, carrier billing, or something else, you can go to a convenience store, give them money, and then and a code that your phone displays, and it will add money to your account without you actually having to do anything.
Interesting and cool and
Well, there are people who don't like credit cards, and there are people, you know, and remember, there are people in countries where they don't have credit. So there are reasons.
No, this is absolutely an awesome idea. I think cash should always be a – see, okay, now this is – I'm about to get a little political on you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are certain classes of business which are turning themselves into, we do not accept cash. I believe that should be illegal.
You did hear about the Amazon cashless supermarket store?
I think it should be illegal.
Well,
I think we should be able to pay for all debts,
and local municipalities and otherwise,
with cash.
I agree with you.
Dollar bills. If I want to buy a $10 million mansion in cash, I should be able to do so.
Are you willing to accept the possibility that there might be additional restrictions on using large amounts of cash as opposed to small amounts of cash?
I am not. Now, I am willing to accept that there might be a need for a CTR, a cash transaction report, in which the fact that I am making a large cash transaction needs to be reported to the people who it needs to be reported to. I am happy to do that. I'm not laundering money. I have legitimate sources for the money. It's cool. The money was paid for and what taxes were paid on it. It's cool. But if I want to buy a $10 million house with three suitcases full of money, then that should be legal. It should be okay.
I'm positive that is legal.
I'm almost certain it's not legal.
Okay, I just think it's difficult to do.
Which is wrong. Cash should be accepted. It is my opinion that the government is trying to push us towards a society where cash is no longer a thing. Because cash is not traceable.
Are you sure the government is doing that? Or are you not sure corporations are doing that? Because they're the ones who don't want to deal with it. Because I'm going back to the Amazon example where they wanted a cashless store so they didn't have to have cashiers. And I think it was Philadelphia who actually said, well, if you want a store here, you're required to take cash.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, but there's
cash should be a thing.
Yeah, but there's nothing that says that you have to have cash taken at the register. You could have somebody who, you know, you put your cash in and they give you a little card that you can use at the self-service register.
That's kind of pushing the line. I don't like that because at that point, see, here's the thing that I think is valuable about cash transactions. They can be anonymous.
Well, that can be anonymous also.
Because it can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, again,
you could have to register for that card. You could have to provide identification to get that card for the cash.
Back to there's where your restriction comes in. But look at airplanes are cashless. If you want to buy something in flight, a lot of them are not taking cash anymore.
And I think that's wrong.
Well, I know what I was watching JetBlue at Kennedy Airport. They no longer accept cash for transactions. So if you want to pay for an extra bag, they will not take cash.
Right. You can't pay for bags with like green stuff, which I think is wrong.
Well, they came up with a solution. They have a machine that you can go to and they'll give you and you could pay for something and they'll give you a card that you can go and use when you go and check out at the machine. So their baggage weighing machines at Kennedy will accept a credit card or one of these cards that you can go to a machine, put in cash, and it will give you a card in order to pay for your luggage.
And the machine doesn't ask for anything else.
No, it's like a gift card.
I put in money and I get a thing out and it doesn't take a picture of me. It doesn't ask for a fingerprint. It doesn't ask for ID.
But I've never used it. I don't usually check luggage, but
I could go in and I could put in $30 to pay for a card, and I could give that card to somebody else, and they could give that card to somebody else, and eventually 14 people down the line, somebody could use that card to pay for a bag, and nobody's the wiser.
I'm not 100% sure. Do you want me to check the next time I'm there to see the provisions of it?
Look for a camera.
Well, security cameras are not uncommon, especially at airports. But I will look for a camera directly at the machine.
I think cash should be a required acceptance for all debts, public and private.
Are you also in favor of the gold standard?
As a matter of fact, yes, I am.
Okay, just asking. I'm not judging.
The idea that the government can just... Okay, so check this out. Now, this is me getting political again. Okay, so the government can print all the money it needs. Now, it has these debts in the future, right? It needs to pay for Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and stuff like that.
Yes.
And these are debts that it has to pay for. And one of the ways that it can do this is just by increasing the supply of money. Now, when the supply of money goes from $10 trillion to $20 trillion, what this means is that you, by and large, wage earners, the things that they pay for double in cost because the amount of energy it takes to make a hamburger does not suddenly dwindle. So the supply of energy to pay for that hamburger and the energy required to create that hamburger stay in rough sync. So if you double the amount of supply of the supply of money, then the cost of things increase. Now that's okay because one of the cost of things is the cost of your time, which means that by and large, when the supply of money doubles, the cost of things double and wages double. Okay?
Okay.
And that sounds okay, but you know what doesn't double? The money in your savings. So what happens is when the government inflates the supply of money, it is in reality a tax on savings. Now here's what happens in this world. By and large, things that are taxed, activities that are taxed, tend to be reduced. And activities that are subsidied tend to increase, which is why we have so much corn production because corn production is subsidized. Marriage is so common because marriage is subsidized in taxes.
Which again is a
Alcohol,
social institution, which surprises me that the government subsidizes.
because the government finds it to be a useful institution, so it encourages it. And when you start taxing savings, then savings will happen less, which will create a less wealthy society, and a less wealthy society is more easily controlled by those in power.
Now I'm depressed.
So here's the thing. Put your money in stuff that is not affected by inflation. Gold, silver, Bitcoin, whatever.
I worry about
Houses.
Bitcoin.
Why? Well, if listen, Bitcoin is a roller coaster, and if you don't have the stomach for it, then you should not put your money in it. Absolutely. But you know, put your money in stuff that follows the demand trend. Gold, silver, Bitcoin, real estate, things that don't depreciate over time. So that when the cost of things increases, then the things that you own, the places where you have your wealth stored, those things also increase in value accordingly. Whereas if you have your wealth stored in dollars, when the value of a dollar drops because now there are three times as many of them, then you have a third of the wealth that you had before.
Again, now I'm depressed.
You shouldn't be depressed. You should be moved to action.
Okay. The only action I feel I can do right now is to tell you that there's an update to the Google Camera app that brings a time-lapse mode.
Isn't that awesome?
I feel like I want to do more photography.
Right?
Well, while I was away, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you, I ordered a device that was on clearance. So I was sitting, as many people do, and looking at, the daily sales from various sites. So if there's something that's on sale, I might want to buy it. They were selling an Android 7.1 device that is called the Acer Holo 360. Are you familiar with this?
As a matter of fact, I am not.
Okay, so the Acer Holo 360 was, I gathered, not very successful on the basis that they were selling it to me for $49.99. Usually, when they sell a device that used to sell for $300 for $49.99, I'm of the opinion that it didn't turn out well. By the way, you can get it for $80 now. So, it's an LTE and Wi-Fi ready Android device that is actually also a 360 degree 4K camera. So, it's a phone that's also a 360 degree camera because if it has LTE, you could actually technically make phone calls, although didn't do that. But it is mostly there to be a camera.
Alrighty.
Cute little thing. So now I want to do some 360-degree photography. Have to find a place to do that. And if it doesn't work out as a camera, it's a little backup Android device. Figured I wasn't going to lose. You can now play Trivia Crack on your Google Home. So if you like being asked trivia questions, you can be asked trivia questions by your Google Home device. You can also do that with Assistant. And, you know, I've tried to set this up for my relatives. I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned our family problem with Trivial Pursuit.
Really?
Well, back in January, I agreed to play Trivial Pursuit with my relatives, and it was 2 days reminding me why I'd refused to do it for the previous 15 years. A two-day Trivial Pursuit game is not exactly what I would call fun.
Why not?
Because it never ended. It was supposed to be like, you know.
What do you mean it never ended? You clearly said it was a two-day trivia game. It ends after 2 days.
No, it was supposed to end after a few hours. It just continued. It ended up lasting 2 days. And that's only because someone gave up. 15 years ago, it ended in an argument about the chief export of Finland.
And what is the chief export of Finland?
Fish.
It's not Finnish?
No, fish, as in seafood. Anyway, so now I can convince my relatives to play trivia with a device that will just keep feeding them trivia questions for as long as they're willing to talk to it.
Awesome.
Sounds like a good move to me. Google Duo introduced group calling.
No!
Well, it seems like they're sort of positioning it to replace Hangouts, which means we may need to find something new.
I'm not a fan of this.
I've been experimenting with Zoom.
I like Zoom. Zoom's cool.
Well, I was looking, and in the event that we cannot find an alternative product, Zoom seems to offer if you sign up for a free account, you can host up to 100 participants, unlimited one-to-one meetings. There is a 40-minute...
They do have a length limit, but we rarely hit 40 minutes. So, although we're going to today.
Well, I'd like to point out that it is a 40-minute length limit if your meeting has three or more total participants. It is unlimited one-to-one meetings, and most of our
conversations... Really? I didn't realize that.
Well, again, it doesn't cost anything. It's a private room, and it seems to be decent.
No, we use all of our... Okay, so Zoom can be white-boxed as a thing called Ring Central. And for the longest time it worked, we used Zoom to do all of our face-to-face meetings. So I've been using Zoom for years. It's a solid. Nice audio quality, nice video quality, a good app.
That's why
It works on Linux.
I was using it over the weekend when I remotely participated in a conference, which is what made me think of it.
Zoom is good. I would approve of Zoom if you could get the audio stuff working.
That should be doable. They have a Linux app and they have a Chrome extension for Chromebooks.
I think they have a pure WebRTC version as well.
Yeah, that's the Chromebook one that you can use for that.
I have Zoom and RingCentral installed locally on my computer, so it won't be a problem for me. But yeah, Zoom's cool.
I'll see about giving it a shot at some point. A colorized beta for Google Photos is coming soon. I'm sort of looking forward to this. I have a bunch of old black and white photography. I'm curious what it would look like if it colorized.
I wonder how it decides what to color things.
Well, that's sort of the big question. I think one of the comment was on the article where they showed a tweet for this. You can see we have work to do. My grandfather didn't wear pink pants to his wedding.
Yeah, but how does it decide? Is a woman blonde or is she strawberry blonde? Is she brunette or is she really dark redhead? You know, things like that.
I'm sure there's a way. I would be interested to see, how they do this in some sort of like brief, technical explanation that I can understand because I don't need to be an expert on this. Like a layman's explanation.
Yes.
So, but either way, even if it's not 100%, I think it's NBC who puts out these colorized versions of old black and white television shows. Because I keep seeing the commercials for them. Oh, we've colorized another episode of I Love Lucy. Or we've what have you. And it makes the shows look extremely different than what they would have looked like originally.
You think so?
Well, I don't know. I am not used to those characters being in color.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if you watched a lot of black and white photography and black and white television shows.
I did not. I tried to avoid it.
Well, I'm not saying I watched exclusively that, but there are some shows that I watched. I do admit to watching reruns of I Love Lucy when I was younger. It's classic.
Okay.
You would not believe how many ideas they've copied on later shows.
I would not.
Why would you not believe me? I think I'm pretty trusting.
You said I wouldn't believe you. And I agreed with you. And now you're arguing me. Come on, man.
The Play Store is starting to suggest removing unused apps.
Excellent. I like that. That's cool.
And Gmail for Android has added tasks integration.
What?
So apparently you can send tasks in Gmail for Android.
Interesting.
Well, I like that they're trying to make certain things more, let's say, sensible. So you can add an email to a task. And I have this option on here. I haven't played much with it, but I do have it there. I just pulled my phone to check to make sure. Moving along, in home automation, Nest is going to turn off their API.
Now, maybe you can explain to me, but all of the headlines I have seen on this tell me that this is a horrible and atrocious and a not good thing for
developers,
especially for home developers and enthusiasts that use things like Home Assistant and OpenHAB.
Well, I picked the Home Assistant blog as my citation for this, even though there were a lot of different stories.
So a lot of stories about this.
So I'll sort of quote what they said, which is, the reason for shutting it down is the Nest team is focused on making Works with Google Assistant the most helpful and intelligent ecosystem for the home. However, the Google Assistant ecosystem is a one-way street. You can put data in, but you cannot get it out. They acknowledge it in their frequently asked questions. I'm a Works with Nest developer. Will I be able to access and control Nest devices going forward? No. The actions on Google Smart Home platform does not provide open API access to Nest devices, so it cannot be used to access and control the devices. Instead, managing and controlling Google Home, Nest, and thousands of third-party smart home devices is done through the Google Home app and the Google Assistant. So you will not be able to integrate your Nest, should you have chosen to purchase one, any longer with a third-party system.
And I declare that to be just not cool.
Well, I understand, you know, that they want to lock it down a little more, but I would say you should lock it down for remote access within your home. If you put a device in your home and you want to access it, why not?
Right.
That's integration for you. Even remotely, there are all these things that, you know, you could tell your thermostat to turn down if it got a trigger from something else. So what they're saying is that they're going to isolate their stuff unless you use their interface. Back to walled garden again.
Ah, oh, evil, evil people.
Well, again, I don't own any Nest products. Now, unless you count, I do own somewhere here a Google Home Hub, which is being rebranded as Nest. But that's mostly used as a photo frame. I also have the Lenovo Smart Display, which falls into that category. But it's disappointing.
It is.
But again, for people who think that they, you know, who want to go in the other direction, New York tenants successfully argued for the right to have a physical key over a smart lock. So you talked about the right to have cash and to use cash. What about the right to have a key to not have to use an electronic device or a smartphone to get into your residence?
I can respect that.
Well, the argument was for this particular building is they decided to take away people's keys. So people didn't move into the building with the understanding that they'd need to have a smartphone. And there was one individual, a 93-year-old, who was unable to use the smart lock, didn't feel comfortable with it, and had been unable to get access to the elevator because he couldn't use the technology.
Well, here's what I say to that. One, that is, sucks for him. Two, it is the owner's prerogative, in my opinion. Three, it was poor decision-making on the side of the owner in that he did not know his audience. Now, if he had a apartment building full of yuppies, and you know, yuppies in their traditional sense, not,
by the way,
you know,
I
would derogatory.
Live in a building where I didn't have an override.
You know, young people that all had cell phones, then not a big deal. But if he has, you know, elderly tenants, then I think he should have considered his demographic. Now, that said, I believe he absolutely had the right to do that. And the people that are living there have the right to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what you call a free market.
No, I understand the free market, but I think that eventually this is going to be legislated.
And doesn't that just make you want to curl up into a ball and cry? It makes me want
what,
to curl up.
What rights you have in terms of your right to access your residence without technology?
You have all the rights that you negotiated in your contract.
Yeah, but here the terms were changed. If you had a lease, the lease, again, probably didn't cover this. Remember, well, they installed it subsequently because I'm guessing that the 93-year-old man was in the building before they put the locks in.
I am absolutely opposed to any legislation legislating this.
Legislating whether or not there has to be some safety measures here. The reason why I'm talking about legislation is safety legislation. Not specifically what people have the right to do in certain forums. But if you
yes, you are. What you're talking about is a law saying that what owners can and cannot do with property that they own.
I'm talking about exteriors, not necessarily interiors.
Does the owner of the building own the doors?
Okay, so what you're saying is, I'll give you a different example. So I work in a factory, and I want to lock the doors so the employees can't leave. They're my doors. I can lock them.
Okay.
That true?
Unfortunately, no, because the free market is not really a thing.
Yeah, so the government is there to protect people in some cases. Now, what you're talking about is that does a landlord have the right to install smart locks on residences where the rental agreement is regulated to prevent abuse by the landlord and abuse by the tenant?
My question is, does a smart lock stop the 93-year-old man from getting out of his apartment?
Theoretically, no. Practically, yes.
What do you mean, practically, yes?
I don't know. I spent a lot of time trying to teach my grandmother how to use a smartphone. It did not work successfully.
Are you saying that without a smartphone, you can't open a door from the inside?
Yes, but how do you
get in? Now, I know that here in Florida, I didn't ask about getting in. Getting in is not a safety issue. Getting out when things are on fire is a safety issue. You want to bring up safety issues, let's talk about safety issues. But that doesn't involve getting into your apartment. The safety issue is getting out.
Okay, well, just to change the tone slightly, because, again, I know we always end up on different sides of where the government should come in. And I like light regulation, though.
I agree. Some regulation is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think in this case, the rules have to govern exactly how the notification process works and how that affects the contract. So if you have a lease, can you unilaterally change the terms of the lease to make a certain method of entrance required and say, if you don't like it, leave? Or do you have to give some sort of amount of notice, or does that have to be done concurrently with the expiration of a lease? And
here's my take on that. A contract is the result of a negotiation, and a contract is written down. Contracts are subject to renegotiation. Now, renegotiations have two sides.
Yeah. But what happens when your landlord comes to you and says, we're installing this lock, and whether you like it or not, we're installing it? They don't say, if there's an objection, talk to us. They just say, we've done it. Here's the new instructions.
Then I think if I did not like it, I would be reviewing my lease and possibly talking to a lawyer.
Yeah.
But I do not believe that the answer is yet another law.
Laws and regulations are different things. Laws are passed by a legislature. Regulations are passed by a regulatory board. But anyway.
I'm pretty sure that doesn't make it any better.
Probably not.
At least legislators are elected.
Yeah. Well, the argument about the fact that regulations are not made by elected officials, they're usually made by experts. Or at least hopefully experts who are given the job of taking the legislation and actually figuring out how to execute it is a whole other long-term conversation. But just to bring it back to the
same experts who told Galileo that he was not allowed to tell people the earth was round.
Just to bring it back to the subject of smart locks where we started.
Yep.
I do have a remotely closable lock. It's actually programmed not to be a remotely openable lock. So the settings that I have do not allow it to be unlocked using any remote system.
Sure.
Just locked. So there's an option to turn on unlocking it by other means, but I deliberately turn that off. So I have it for two reasons. One, I want to be able to lock the door in case I forget. And two, I have a keypad so that I don't always need a key. But I insisted that I also have a key. So
okay.
I want to be able to unlock the door. What if the power goes out? What if there's a problem? I want to be able to use a traditional key.
Absolutely.
And there are other reasons why I want a key.
It is my opinion that this landlord was a jerk, but I don't think that more government is the solution.
And even the company that manufactures the smart lock said all their devices are compatible with physical keys. So there was nothing that said that there couldn't be a physical key. They couldn't have found a way to do both. So I don't know. It will not set a legal precedent, but eventually one of these cases will. And some judge will decide whether or not somebody has a right to have a physical key. And I'm curious when that happens.
I don't think it'll happen.
We'll see. You know how the law can be. Delta's testing free in-flight Wi-Fi.
Cool. I will be flying on Delta in a couple of months.
Yeah, but I don't know if they'll have it by then.
Well, they will for me. Okay. I'm a T-Mobile subscriber.
Yeah. No, I know, but again, they're testing free in-flight Wi-Fi for all, which is nice.
Good. That's nice.
Mozilla.
I think we're getting to the point where internet connectivity is being considered more and more of an expectation and less of a surprise.
Did I tell you I got my money back for the Wi-Fi that wasn't working?
Oh, good job.
Not really. I feel like they gave me too much back. I asked them to take me from, because it didn't work for half the flight, I asked them to refund half of my money. They refunded all of my money. I feel like I did use the service. They should get something. I just didn't feel that they deserved to get all of it.
No, this is also part of that refund was not just to refund for what didn't work. Part of it is also for
my pain and suffering.
Not pain and suffering, but to improve your opinion. You know, if you go to a restaurant and you have a problem with one part of your meal, they don't refund, you know, just the price of the fries.
Really? You have nicer restaurants than I do. One time they didn't refund anything. Maybe I went to the wrong restaurants.
Do you continue to go to that restaurant?
No.
Okay, good job.
Anyway, Mozilla put out an article about what they did when things went wrong, because as I mentioned last week, they had a bit of a snafu. Somehow one of their certificates that was associated with their add-ons expired, and the browser shut off all the extensions because they were no longer considered valid, which again is exactly what security is supposed to do, but they felt the need to put out an article, which I would have anyway, and a post saying, well, what exactly happened and how they handled these sort of things. So it's worth a read. Google Travel.
And how long was that condition actually active?
They rushed to fix. I think it was like a day.
Wow.
It was the weekend.
As a Firefox user, I'm surprised I did not notice that.
Here we are. So in order to address this, we used our studies program to deploy the initial fix. So according to this, it was a very short period of time. There was a period of time where, in order to temporarily fix it, they used sort of a back-end fix, which they're going to be deleting any data they might have collected as a result. So they're continuing. They're going to have more information during a post-mortem. But their simple answer is that most add-ons start working because they let certificates used to sign them expire, which is pretty much what happened. So if you look, there's a whole technical article talking about how long it took them to generate a new valid certificate and install it remotely in every single Firefox. So the challenge was that they had broken a lot of systems. Remember, Firefox, while it is not the most popular browser, it certainly has a lot of usage. So it did take them a little time to figure out how to deploy a solution. So they had a temporary mitigation, and then they went for a permanent one. Google Travel was released. to add one place for travel planning and details. Now, I can't find this, so I went to google.com/travel, and it does not show any articles that I'm traveling on, and I know I have an upcoming trip. I see Google Explorer, Google Flights, Google Hotels, but I do not see it showing me.
Did you get email confirmations?
Yeah, I booked a ticket at the end of June.
Now, I know that Google Trips sometimes takes, oddly, you know, like weeks to actually show up.
Well, also, they've never been good with apps accounts or suite or whatever. And finally, Tim Conway passed away.
Oh.
Were you a fan?
I like country music.
He wasn't a country music.
Oh, then I don't know. Wait. No, I don't know who that is then.
Tim Conway was a comedian. He was well known for appearing on the Carol Burnett Show. He was also the star of, or one of them, of McHale's Navy. And apparently,
Who was he in McHale's Navy? Because I love that movie.
The movie, or the
yeah,
he was in the original show.
Oh,
the movie was a remake.
It's a great movie.
Then you probably would have liked the show.
Probably.
Anyway, but he was a very good comedic actor.
Cool.
Who, if you saw him, you might recognize him. So I'm always sad when a classic comedian passes away. Anyway. That brings us to the end of the show and a sad note.
Sad note. Yes, I guess so.
Many things in this world are sad. Right?
Yes.
So as we move into next week, let us think about more sad things.
No!
You only want to think about happy things?
I do.
Me too, but sometimes there aren't happy things. So shall we adjourn for the night?
Let's call it a night.
Wish me luck tomorrow.
Good luck tomorrow.
I have more forms to fill out.
All right.
Much to my frustration. And until then.
Until then. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.